I have not come to bring peace, but division. Sounds strange. But what our Lord is really trying to do for us is clarify the difference between the peace of Christ and the peace of the world. Peace in the sense of the world refers to harmony with anyone and everyone. In today's terminology, it would refer to being politically correct. And so our Lord today is calling us to look at peace, our quest for peace. What comes to my mind is the Man of La Mancha, the dream, the impossible dream, peace. And I guess the person who specifically comes to my mind is my uncle. I've spoken to you many times, and within the last few weeks, after 97 years, God called him home. And so the last few weeks have been very reflective for me about Herm and his quest for peace and his seemingly frustrated efforts in that regard. And so today I thought we'd kind of look at a possible recipe for peace discerned from our readings today. And I'd like to kind of use Herm as an example and a contrast to that struggle for peace. We read in today's responsorial psalm, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." Prayer, to pray, is the most important thing in our lives to attain for the fruitfulness of peace. Father Hardin says, everybody's having trouble seeing this one. Father Hardin says, only those who pray get to heaven. There's nothing more important in our lives than prayer. And here we are in retreat, and I hope that above all else, no matter what you do, the majority of your time and thoughts are in prayer. Prayer takes effort. And prayer here, in particular, I think, needs the effort of silence. Silence. Silence is difficult, isn't it? Someone once said that the best possible thing for holding off on silence is to not communicate with the eyes. And just think, I mean, if you keep your eyes downcast during the retreat, you won't be tempted to talk to Millie Mae or Susie Joe. You won't even know they're there. You'll be really focused on the Lord and thinking of what He's saying to you. So I really encourage you during this last 24, 30 hours of the retreat, for that silence and that sense of solitude be the cherished gift that you let God give to you and that you let God give to others by not disrupting their peace. And if you need to talk to me or Rose in the hall, let's go in the dining room or something. But let's really try to maintain a sense of prayerfulness. Prayer means talking and listening to God. And I think most of us know we can't really listen to two people at once. And if we're listening to Sally Joe, we're probably not listening too well to our Lord. Pray. Herm, in his life, was very prayerful. Much of his prayer, like much of ours, was panic prayer. Endless rosaries for the anxiety of the moment. But he was always trying to pray. And he was known in the priest wing of the nursing home where he lived. He was blessed to live in the priest wing. The priests appreciated his prayerfulness. In fact, one of them was so touched by it that he wrote a poem that I read at Herm's funeral about Herm and his prayerfulness. And the key point of Herm's prayerfulness was the next thing, the Eucharist. The Eucharist is truly the key to peace in our lives. The peace of Christ come to my presence. In the responsorial, had not the Lord been with us. The Lord is with us in such a special, unique way. And if we can't cherish our time with the Eucharist, we're missing out on the deepest reality of Christ's presence. Herm every day would go to Mass there at the nursing home. He'd walk most of the way, and then the aides would wheel him in the rest of the way, and he'd take him straight to his seat right there in the front right, right behind the priest who were celebrating. And he had to be perfectly parked, right lined up with that pew, so nobody would get in that pew. That was his spot. So much so that the day after his death, I was at the nursing home celebrating, and I was sitting in his spot. And nobody knew yet that Herm had passed away. And I'm thinking to myself, everybody's looking at me and thinking, that guy's in big trouble. He's in Herm's spot. Herm was a man of great conviction, and he knew he wanted to be at Mass, and he knew he wanted that front seat, and he didn't want anybody distracting him. And while he came straight in to the chapel, when he left, it was really a unique experience. He was in his wheelchair, and the nurse who came to get him, be wheeling him out, and he's kind of doing this papal exit, you know, kind of smiling and blessing everybody as he goes, God bless you, God bless you. It was just, and it so beautifully reflected what the poem of the priest said. How he came to our Lord each day, and there he found his communion. There he came into contact with the love of God. Because at that moment, it was the peak moment of his peace and love for the day. Because he could very well, you know, revert into being a cantankerous German man who was very convicted and knew better do it the right way. But the peace of Christ came to him in the Eucharist. And the same is true to us. If we can go to daily Mass, if we can spend time in adoration, the peace of Christ can be more and more the peace in our hearts. The third step in this recipe of peace, this quest for peace, is to be found in acceptance. Not an easy thing. In the Gospel here, it says, he who welcomes a prophet welcomes me. I struggled much with Herm in the final years of his life to try and help him have that peace. As an older person, at times he would kind of imagine things, and once in a while I would confess, well, that's not true, Herm, and, you know, I became the enemy. And so I began to realize I had to accept where he was. And I began to see that for him this whole acceptance was the struggle of his life. You know, sometimes we testify to a virtue by attaining to it. Other times we testify to this virtue by constantly struggling for it. And Herm was relentless. He would never give up on his quest of healing physically, emotionally, spiritually. He was always, always struggling. He never quit. And this was the biggest struggle of his life, the struggle of acceptance. I got a message on Sunday, and I drove all night and got there at 4 o'clock in the morning to the hospital. He had a massive heart attack. And of course, I'd been up all that time, and I spent a couple hours when I thought, gee, I really need to go back and get a few hours sleep at the nursing home. So a thought came to me, well, I'll put on that tape. You know, I played this tape called Keep Your Eyes on the Beloved, and I played it on recollect, and I just thought, I'll put it on continuous. So I put the CD on, and I left. And when I came back, the nurse says, wow, you know, that tape's really good, and he's very peaceful with that. Keep that tape on. And so as it turns out, the last 40 hours of his life, this tape was playing. And I began to see that, you know, maybe this was another avenue where he was going to be able to be touched with a sense of acceptance. We'd done all kinds of things, but never before used music. And I guess what came to my mind was, as he struggled through that, what Father Hardin says so much about, love the cross, accept and even embrace the cross. That was not Herm's way of dealing with the cross. His way of dealing with the cross was conquer it, get rid of it, overcome it. And during these last 40 hours, he was in a lot of pain. His heart was failing, his kidneys were failing, and he who wanted to live to 120 was not at all thinking of dying. He was going to struggle forever. And it kind of brings us to the next step in this quest for peace. It's the step of confronting. Jesus says in the Gospel, I've come to set a man at odds, bring division, not peace. Herm was very good at this manner of things. He was a man of great conviction. He wasn't afraid to confront anybody. And when you were confronted by Herm, you knew it. And you knew what he believed. And he was totally upright, totally honest, a fantastic person. But he had been tremendously abused in his life. He had been mugged several times. He had been cheated out of his land. He carried a lot of hurts with him. And so as I was there watching him in the waning hours of Tuesday evening, I began to have a sense about me that maybe I needed to bring something up to him that I had brought up to my mother shortly before she died. And so I said to Herm, I said, you know, as he's struggling, I said, Herm, you know, God might be calling you to himself. he just went ballistic. I got all upset and started to struggle. And I said, maybe he's not. But I just wanted you to think about that, you know. So it was kind of my way of trying to help confront him. And I think that seed, and I also began to pray the prayers for the dying. There's a whole set of alternates. I prayed them all. The readings, the prayers for the dying. Because I had a sense his blood pressure was dropping. I was praying the prayers for the dying. And the nurse was oblivious. I said, his blood pressure's dropped. Tell him if it's dropped before. Said, yeah. And sure enough, as I watched this and I'm praying, right after I ended the prayers for the dying, she walked in the room and I said, I think this is it. And Herm went, I said, that's it. The Lord's called him. And just then, she's on the other side of the bed, running out to get a needle to give him blood pressure, poop, and all that. And I said, turn that song up. The tape was still playing. I said, turn that song up. A song just came on. I said, turn that one up. That's the perfect farewell song. And it was. And I was thinking to myself, this is the most perfect farewell song for him to hear. It's what he's always needed to hear. And the song is called Behold the Heart, and it begins like, take a look and see where I am from. I was just like you. And then it goes on to go through the inventory of Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. I was scourged and condemned and crucified. And it goes through all this suffering. And then again, it does the refrain. Take a look at me and see where I'm from. I was just like you, yet I chose to die for you. I thought of all the words and songs and passages in the Bible he could hear. This is the one that would send him into eternity at peace. And we went through that whole song. And I'm still kind of praying and we're listening to the song together and he's taking his last breath. And towards the end of the song, something very strange happened. He went, another breath, 2 or 3 minutes after the last breath. And the doctors had some kind of fancy name for what that's all about. But basically, these were the final 2-3 minutes of his life. He was listening to this song. And I guess what struck me so vividly was at the funeral home, people would see him laid out and they said, I've never seen him more peaceful. He looks so happy. He looks so at peace. The grace of a happy death. The grace of confronting and finally, through that song, encountering our Lord in a way that my talking, my just being there for the last 6 years loving him, never brought him to the point of peace and acceptance that he finally attained to. That farewell song was really him accepting our Lord. In all of our lives, we need to see the challenge of peace. A challenge to pray. A challenge of the Eucharist as the center of our life. A challenge of really trying to accept what God sends us. And to confront the truth in our lives. Confront in confession. Regular confession. Here in retreat. Nothing more important. I know I've confused every one of you here with having these additional appointments in the confessional. But my point is, there's nothing more important than confession. And when the slots aren't full, I'm sitting in confession, people can go to confession. When you do come in for the appointment there, you can go to confession or you can have the conference. But I'm in the right spot for the amount of time that I've got available. So again, the one list, the add-on list, is in the confessional. The original list is in the appointment room. And I hope that's not too confusing. And if you see the confessional light on, you wonder, well, does somebody have an appointment? Go look and see on the chart. If there's nobody at the time, come in. And again, there's plenty of times. And so, here on this retreat, to confront self in the light of our Lord's love, and to truly encounter him, to encounter him with a sense of the Eucharist and prayer. And during lunch today, I've asked Rose to put on this particular song that I mentioned. It's one of my all-time favorite songs. It's based on Isaiah 53:54. It's from The Suffering Servant. And it's so beautiful. It's Christ speaking. Christ saying these things to you. Take a look and see. And any of you that would like, these tapes are by one of the retreatants here. Father Hardin tells people, you should write. So she wrote an album and sang it. And they're all written before the Eucharist. And they're available free. It's an apostolate. They're not being sold. They're being distributed by the St. Philomena Foundation. And so they're here, they're available. They're outside my room, they're in my room, and maybe we'll put some up on Rose's table. But anybody who wants one, take a CD or tape, and I really encourage you to see there's a prayerfulness about it that's really inspirational. Her husband mentioned, Simonetta's husband mentioned, the impact of song is much different than a homily or a book. You read a book once or twice, you hear a homily, but a song you play over and over and over again. And you can get more and more deeply into the message. And so I'd encourage all of us here to think about the sources of inspiration in our lives, the need for contemplation, the need to realize the quest of peace is an impossible dream without the Eucharist and without the steadfast effort. So let us hear the call of peace in our lives, not the peace of this world, buckling under to this world's values, but the peace of Christ.